Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
And of course, as we read the text, we quickly realize it's not so much Jesus who's on trial as it is Pilate. Pilate is going to give the most important verdict of his life. What is he going to do with Jesus the Christ? What do you do with Jesus the Christ?
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe. Today, we're continuing our study in the book of Matthew by examining the final trial of Jesus Christ. Pilate must make a choice between freeing an innocent man and appeasing the bloodthirsty crowd. But in reality, it's an all-important choice that every one of us must make. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe to introduce today's message titled, Jesus Before Pilate.
The Creator is being judged by His own creatures. The sinless Jesus is being judged by sinful men. At the Jewish trial, we saw the injustice of it all, with biased judges, contradictory witnesses, illegal evidence and procedures. Now our Lord is before Pontius Pilate, the Roman procurator. Of course, it's not so much Jesus who is on trial as it is Pilate. What's going to be his verdict? What is yours? Pilate faces the most important question of his life. What shall I do with the man you call the King of the Jews? And behind all of the injustice, we see the very hand of God. So today, let's look a little closer at the trial before Pilate as we turn to the opening verses of Matthew chapter 27. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 27, verse 1. When morning came, all of the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And they bound him and led him away and delivered him over to Pilate, the governor. Now look down to verse 11. Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus said, "You've said so." And when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?" But he gave them no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now, at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release for the crowd any one prisoner whom they wanted. And they had then a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when they had gathered, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release for you, Barabbas or Jesus who's called Christ?" For he knew that it was out of envy that they had delivered him up. Besides, while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, "Have nothing to do with that righteous man, for I have suffered much because of him today in a dream." Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. You see how the religious people are working behind the scenes like some kind of terrible, unscrupulous politician whipping up the crowd. Verse 21, the governor again said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus, who's called Christ?" They all said, "Let him be crucified." And he said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." So when Pilate saw that he was gaining nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I'm innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves." And all the people answered, "His blood be on us and on our children." Verse 26, then he released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified. What amazing verses. Jesus before Pilate. I want to say, as we think of Matthew's writing, that Matthew is saying that Jesus Christ demands allegiance from his followers. I want you to understand that. Now, as we come to this passage, we see our Lord Jesus, who Isaiah had said was a man of sorrows. And here he is suffering. Do you see him? The sinless Christ is falsely accused, and he makes no answer to the many false charges against him. He only makes one reply, recorded in verse 11, which is the last recorded words in Matthew, which our Lord says prior to the crucifixion. He confirms that he is King of the Jews. You have said so, verse 11. So here is our Lord before Pilate. And Pilate understands that the Sanhedrin's charge of blasphemy is irrelevant to him. That's some internal religious dispute among the Jews. He's the Roman governor. He's not concerned with these minor issues of blasphemy, but he is concerned if there is a political charge against the prisoner, if this man, Jesus, is claiming to be the king of the Jews. That does get his attention. The claim by this man, Jesus, to be the king of the Jews was potentially treasonable. And Pilate faces the most important question of his life. And this is our most important question. What then shall I do with Jesus, who's called the Christ? Matthew's answer to that in the writing of his gospel is, this one demands absolute allegiance. Here is the most profound, penetrating question of all of life, of all of eternity. Your life, how you live your life, where you will spend eternity, depends on your personal response to this question, what will I do with Jesus, who's called the Christ? Because our Lord Jesus demands a personal verdict. Now, we have to say, it's obvious that Pilate wants to do the right thing. He wants to release Jesus. He's Roman. He's got a sense of justice. He understands the law. You don't send a man to be crucified if he's done nothing wrong. And while Pilate wanted to dispense justice, he wanted to do the right thing. When it came to it, he had higher priorities. He had higher priorities than personal integrity and fairness and truth and justice. When it came right down to it, Pilate, you are a moral coward. You're playing to the crowd like a petty politician. And when it comes to it, you're more concerned with your career. You're more concerned with holding on to your considerable power rather than doing the right thing. John records, John 19, verse 12, from then on, Pilate sought to release him. He wanted to release him. But the Jews cried out. Can you hear the cynical cry? Pilate is vacillating. He's looking for a way out. And then someone says, if you release this man, you're not Caesar's friend. Everyone who makes himself a king opposes Caesar. He's on the horns of a dilemma. If he orders Jesus to be released, the Jewish authorities are going to be angry. He had already, we know from the local history, that he'd already offended the Jews. He didn't want to risk that happening again. Also, if he didn't put Jesus to death, the Roman emperor might be insulted. After all, here's a man claiming to be a king in the emperor's territory, and you, Pilate, have released him. On the other hand, if he allows him to be crucified, he's consenting to the death of an innocent man. He's sending an innocent man to his death. So he's placed in a very awkward moral dilemma. Should he do the right thing and release an innocent man and risk possible harm to his career? Or should he do the wrong thing and live with a guilty conscience? What is he going to do with Jesus, who's called the Christ? For a moment, can you put yourself in the place of Pilate? You ever face a moral dilemma at work? If you stood up for righteousness, you might get fired, or you might not get that promotion, or your friends might not think too much about you. Have you ever been in that situation? Weak, vacillating, cowardly, doing the expedient, doing the popular thing, fitting in with the surrounding culture, rather than standing out for truth. Rather than saying, no, I cannot do that, that is wrong. I remember a friend of mine who was a very effective salesman selling some high-powered electrical equipment, which I don't understand and don't ever want to understand, but he was making a lot of money selling this. And he was brought in, as all of the salesmen were, from all over the country, for a review. Now, he was one of the top salesmen. And to his surprise, the boss said to him, you know, you need to do better. And I mean, that's always the case, isn't it? You can always sell more. And my friend said, well, yes. But he said, I think I've done quite well. He said, well, no. He said, I hear you're not entertaining the clients very well. My friend said, what do you mean? He said, apparently you've got some hang up about not taking them to certain clubs. Do you know the kind of clubs? The clubs that some men want to go when they're out of town, away from their wives. And my friend said, no, he said, I don't go to these clubs. And I'm not going to go to them. He took a stand. And for that, not only was he demoted, in a short time he lost his job. I admire men like that. I admire men and women who stand for what is right. That's what it means to have your allegiance to Christ, isn't it? There can be no higher allegiance than Christ. And I'm wondering this morning if some of you are still not sure about your relationship to Jesus Christ. Now, you don't need more information. You've had your questions answered, and it's decision time. Because I began by saying the real person on trial was not Jesus, it's Pilate. We know who Jesus is. He's the Son of God, he's the Messiah, he's the King of Kings, he's the King of the universe. The person on trial was Pilate. And in a sense, you and I are on trial. What will we do with Jesus, who's called the Christ? Our eternal destiny hinges on our response. And so I have to ask you, as I ask myself, are there any higher priorities in your life than your allegiance to Jesus? Your family, your career, your lifestyle, your hobby, your pleasures, your ambitions. When it comes to it, you're quite willing to be a follower of Jesus. But only to a point. And that's the problem, isn't it? You can't patronize Jesus. You can't just pay lip service to him. You can't marginalize Jesus to an hour or two on a Sunday. Are you really going to insult the King of Kings and Lord of Lords to only coming to him in the emergencies of life? No, our allegiance to the Lord Jesus, Matthew is telling us time and time again as he talks about the kingdom of God, that we are to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. To seek it first. That's the first commandment. You'll have no other gods before me. If there is a God, and there is, and if the Lord Jesus is the Son of God as he is, there can be no higher authority. No one else competing for first place. Our total allegiance is to be Christ. You say, that's extreme. Perhaps it is. But that's what it is to be a follower of Jesus. Think of the extreme positions of people in our society over other issues. Think how extreme they are. Think how radical they are. And yet so often we relegate our Lord Jesus to second or third place in our lives. No. Seek him first. Love him first. Allegiance to Jesus is to be our first priority. You know, those who speak truth, God's truth. I saw someone the other day with something on their t-shirt. Truth is not on an agenda or something. And I wanted to speak to the woman, but she moved on. And I thought, I hope you're saying that truth is absolute. It's not something that we manipulate for our own purposes. No, God's truth stands forever. I began the service by reminding us that God is from everlasting to everlasting, and his truth is everlasting. It's always wrong, for example, to kill an unborn child. That was true 2,000 years ago. It will be true 2,000 years from now if our Lord Jesus Christ doesn't come. Truth always stands, and we are people of truth. Never, ever be ashamed of the gospel. Never be ashamed of standing for Jesus. Don't look to get out of it. Don't be crass. Don't shout. Don't be full of hate. No, love. And speak truth. Jesus demands allegiance from his followers. Today, I'm saying to you, don't allow anyone to stop you from receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior. Some of you are still on the fence. Make this today the day you receive Christ. Don't allow anyone to stop you from following Jesus Christ. Please hear me. You know Jesus Christ can be trusted. Don't be like Pilate. Don't follow the crowd, please. Stop going back and forward in your mind. Do the right thing. Pilate knew what the right thing was to do. And in your circumstance in life, as you're faced, as I'm faced with these moral dilemmas, you know the right thing to do. Do it. Be strong. Be courageous. God will help you. God will honor you. The crowd chose Barabbas. As I say, whipped up like manipulative politicians, as the religious leaders were politicians, they whipped up the crowd to get what they wanted. And they chose a terrorist over Jesus. The wonderful thing is that Jesus died in the place of Barabbas. That's substitution. One person taking the place of another. And our Lord Jesus Christ comes in a very real sense to take my place. He dies as my substitute. He dies in my place. God shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Sin is man substituting himself for God. Salvation is God substituting himself for man. But Barabbas deserved to die. He was a murderer, awaiting death by crucifixion, getting what he deserved. But he could say, I was set free because Jesus died in my place. Now, I'm not suggesting any of us are terrorists, although sometimes we may have hate against people in our hearts. But I am saying that all of us are sinners and that Christ comes to die in my place. You want to make yourself king in your life? Don't do that. Put Christ first. He comes and sacrifices himself for us. He dies in my place. There were those who made the wrong decision. Matthew tells us of some. First of all, Pilate. What are you going to do with Jesus who's the Christ? Crucified. Judas, what are you going to do with Jesus who's the Christ? Oh, I'm going to betray him for 30 pieces of silver. Here's a rich young ruler, Matthew tells us about, who comes to Jesus. And he's a very righteous man. He's a very good man. But Jesus faces him with his own idolatry and says, you want to follow me? Go sell all that you have. Take up your cross and follow me. We can hear the swish of these expensive robes as the young man turns his back on Jesus and walks away. And the Bible says that Jesus loved him. But this man loved his possessions more than Christ. Wrong decisions. Think of three who made the right decisions. John the Baptist. What do you think of Jesus the Christ? He's a Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Peter, who is Jesus? He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Here's a nameless woman that we read recently of who comes with her alabaster vase and breaks it and pours it out on Jesus, surrenders her all. What do you think of Jesus? Her actions tell us. She's surrendering everything at the feet of Jesus. What about you? Follow Christ. Follow him truly. Follow him boldly. Follow him courageously. Follow him with love. Follow him with humility. And think of the difference you can make in your world, in a crazy world, as we shine with the beauty of Christ. Father, we thank you for this passage. We're faced with our own selfishness. We realize we're very different from Pilate, and yet we also have to respond to Jesus. And I pray even now there'll be those whose hearts are being opened as they turn from their sin and embrace Christ. Many here are followers of Christ, and sometimes we're very ambivalent. We need strength, we need courage, we need wisdom. Grant us that, Father, that we will be known as people of love and truth. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe and a message titled, Jesus Before Pilate. John will return with his closing remarks in just a moment, so keep listening. First, I'd like to tell you about the exclusive free resource we're offering to our listeners. It's a booklet written by John that's focused on what Jesus taught his followers about how to follow him. This booklet walks you through the teaching of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, offering insightful notes to help you understand his very practical instructions for day-to-day living. The booklet is titled Life in the Kingdom, and you can request your free copy today by going to our website at theverdict.org. Here at The Verdict, we're committed to sharing the truth of God's Word and the good news of Jesus Christ every day. And you can be a part of this gospel work by supporting our ministry with a financial gift of any amount. We've made it quick and easy to give a one-time donation over on our website at theverdict.org. Or if you'd prefer to send your gift in the mail, you can do that too. Just address your envelope to The Verdict, care of Calvary Church, 5801 Pineville Matthews Road, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28226. And before we close, we want to remind you to subscribe to The Verdict Podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts. When you do, you'll get each of these daily messages downloaded automatically, along with bonus content from John. To learn more, just visit theverdict.org. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe with today's closing remarks.
Well, what's your verdict? It's easy to criticize Pilate, but how many of us in practice put our personal interests, our career, our future before humbly and obediently following Jesus? So again, I ask, what is your verdict regarding Jesus? This is the central issue of your life. Who is Jesus Christ? And what is your response to him? It's not a question we can avoid or delegate to our family or someone else. May you see him dying for your sins and know that in Jesus is the only way of salvation.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.